So we have here members of the men's and women D1 hockey team, Clarkson's Golden Knights here. This is some of the members. We might get some of this. So it's great to be here. This is college weekend, and normally college weekend will invite a college student or a professor sometimes to bring the word. But this particular season, we decided to spotlight, if you will, the work that God is doing among the hockey team members, and as a way to give glory to God and bring encouragement to the church. And so that's what we're doing. And there's some nervousness up here. It turns out that people are actually sometimes more comfortable on skates than they are being in front of a crowd full of people that they have to talk to. So in any event, these are folks that have become friends of mine. I'd like to have them introduce. I think we're going to start here. So introduce yourself. Give us your name, your hometown, your major, your jersey number and position, and one thing that you wish more people knew about you, as fast as you can.
My name's Jessica McKinnon. I'm from Clarks Harbor, Nova Scotia. I'm a bio major. And I'm number 29, I play forward. And one thing I wish more people knew about me is I'm from a lobster community.
There you go.
I'm Lucas Sukovic. I'm from the great city of Chicago, number 11, forward. Interesting fact, I'm an aspiring fisherman, not inspiring, aspiring.
Nice.
My name is Ethan Langenegger. I'm from Kamloops, British Columbia. I am a goalie. We're number one. And then an interesting fact about me is that I drove out here from home, which is about 38 hours. So.
How's it going? My name is Talon Sigurdsson. I'm from Sartell, Minnesota. I'm a E&M major. What else do I got to do? Jersey number. I'm number 14. Forward. Something I wish more people knew is I like to go fishing a lot.
Hi, I'm Tate Taylor. I'm from Richmond, British Columbia. My major is business admin. My jersey number is 27. And I play defenseman. And then something I wish people knew is my whole family's like originated from England.
All right. It's cool. I was a little thrown off why they were looking at the monitor. Do you not know your names? but I then I realized the prompts were up there. So all good. All good. And so we also have one of the coaches up on the stage with us. And so would you like to introduce yourself, your hometown, your major in college when you were in college, and then one thing you would like these folks to know about you?
Yeah, my name is Sebastian Ragno. I'm originally from Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Contrary to popular belief, I didn't major in hockey. I actually majored in architecture. Like you said, I'm an assistant coach, and something I wish people knew about me is I flew a plane, kind of, one time, so it was pretty cool.
Oh, that's really cool. Is yours on?
Yep.
Okay. So really, really great group. What did I do with my notes? nice. Awesome. So I'm actually going to invite Sebastian to say a little bit about each person and the team. And so Sebastian, I felt like, was a good person to do this as one of their coaches. So there's a lot of people here that are super familiar with the Clarkson Golden Knights, and they go to a lot of games and support you in lots of different ways. But there's others that are here and online that know very little about the Clarkson Golden Knights, both the men and the women team. So Sebastian, what can you tell us?
Give me one second. I'm going to read from my phone. I apologize. Good morning. For those of you, like I said, I'm Sebastian Ragno, an assistant coach with the ice hockey team on the men's side. I get the distinct pleasure being around these guys and girls every single day and calling it work. So that's awesome. A lot of really good people and from all over the country, all over the world, which is really, really nice. I want to speak for just a moment on some of the accomplishments of the players and the teams this season. First, Jess is a member of the women's hockey team. She earned her first point in her first college game this year against St. Mike's, and she was part of a team that would finish the season ranked 8th in the country, earning 25 wins.
Come on.
The women's team made the NCAA national tournament, one of, I believe, 11 teams. That's hockey's version of March Madness. And they would lose to the eventual national champion, Wisconsin Badgers. The women's team holds a Bible study every Sunday afternoon, and multiple members of the team attend New Hope Community Church. Clarkson's men's hockey team had a great season under new head coach J.F. Uhl. The team earned 24 wins, just one shy of the women's team, unfortunately, and fell short of the national tournament with a loss to Cornell in the ECHC championship. The team had numerous accolades, including 4 of 6 conference first-team All-Stars, 1 second-team All-Star, 1 player on the All-Rookie team. JF was named ECAC Coach of the Year. We had ECAC Defenseman and Player of the Year. Finalists for multiple national awards, including Coach of the Year, Goalie of the Year, and Player of the Year. We also had 2 players sign NHL contracts, and I'd like to share a little bit about the guys that are up here as well. So first off is Ethan. A graduate transfer goaltender who played a majority of the games for the men's team. I was fortunate to work directly with Ethan on a daily basis, and he helped me get acquainted to the new position here at Clarkson seamlessly. He earned multiple accolades, including nominations for NCAA Goaltender of the Year and NCAA Player of the Year. He received the award for Conference Goaltender of the Year and was a first-team All-Star. Talon Sigurdsson was the one who actually introduced me to New Hope. We had a mutual connection through faith that allowed me to easily strike up a conversation about where to begin as a Christian in Potsdam, because I had no idea. On the ice, Talon was one of our hardest worker, often staying extra hours. We always joke that he's addicted to hockey in the office, but doing so while taking a difficult course load in engineering and making time with the Lord a priority. In his sophomore season, he scored 10 goals and added 8 assists. Tate Taylor, in his freshman year, found himself a home on Clarkson's blue line as one of 4 Taylors, which were not all related, to play on the team. His brother Trey could not be here today. He signed a contract with the NHL's Dallas Stars. But Tate made his name known in college hockey, scoring 3 goals and adding 13 assists as a freshman. His contributions, along with his defensive abilities, earned him a spot on the ECAC All-Rookie Team. Lucas Sukovic most notably scored the game-winning goal in overtime to propel the team to Lake Placid for the first time since 2022. Lucas' 16 points is quite impressive after being in and out of the lineup to start the year, doing so in only 21 games. The schedule of a college athlete is certainly not easy to juggle, but the fact that these athletes succeeded not only on the ice, but also in the classroom while making their faith a priority is very encouraging to me and should be to all of you as well. Many church members have come out to support the teams, but more importantly, have made these young men and women feel comfortable in a small community thousands of miles away from home. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, I am there among them." We could feel the presence of God and can only pray that we glorified him through our performance, but more importantly, through the post-game prayer after each win or loss. We thank you again for your support, and let the glory be to God as he works through this community and these teams to build his kingdom. Yeah.
Thank you, Sebastian. So back in February, I was invited to begin leading a Bible study for the members of the Golden Knights men's team. And each week, about 8 or 9 of the guys would show up along with Sebastian. And we began to study portions of the Gospel of John together to encourage one another to, in the words of John the Apostle, the writer of the Gospel, to fully put our faith in Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, and by so doing, experience true life. That's what we've been learning together. Because Jesus in the Gospel of John, he used a lot of metaphors to refer to himself, like the bread of life, the light of the world, the good shepherd, the true vine. I thought it would be fun our first week together back in February to begin with just talking about ice hockey metaphors. And so so I brought a list of ice hockey metaphors. I didn't know what most of them were, and they taught me. And so I thought it would be fun to bring some of these ice hockey metaphors to you so that you also might learn a few of them. So if you know the meaning of the metaphor, go ahead. You can just shout it out or raise your hand and have a mic pass to you. Okay, let's go with the first one. I have six. First one is bottle rocket. Bottle rocket. Who's got that one?
Sorry. I've never heard that one, but you want to give me a guess? It's either got to be hard shot or soft shot.
It's a hard shot. It's a hard shot that does what?
Knocks the water bottle off the net.
Yeah, knocks the bottle of water off the goalie's net. That's right, exactly. Nice job. All right. Good teamwork. Okay. Dangle. I know you guys know this one. Dangle.
That's telling.
I mean, that one's just stick handling.
What's that?
Just like stick handling.
Stick handling. Like, make a move. Specifically to do what?
Dangle a guy. I don't know.
It's a player who uses a fake moves to confuse the goalie or other players. Is that about right? Okay. So, nice job. Yeah, it's a fancy move. Good. Flamingo. I know you guys know
Tate.
This one.
Anybody? Tate.
It's when you're going to block a shot and you turn and try to not block the shot. Let Langer do his job.
And on how many legs?
One, I guess.
Yeah, one leg. Yeah, okay. All right. We see it quite frequently. How about a pylon?
Sugovic.
That's interesting.
What's that?
Very interesting coming from Tate. But... pylon is like, not like, you play defense, you can't really, like, you just get around, you're calm, basically. So,
yeah. Yeah, so the way it's worded in my note, it's a player who stands still while forcing other skaters to go around them. Is that about right?
Yes.
Okay. I have no idea. And then how about a sieve? Let's see, Ethan, maybe you want to, you know this one, a sieve.
That's a goalie who doesn't stop very many pucks.
Yeah. Which is not what you are. And then one of my favorites is what's called, this is new to me, the sin box. We have to talk about the sin box. I mean, sin bin. Yeah, sorry. Sin bin. Who's got that one?
Sooks.
Yeah. Just the penalty box. You take a penalty, you got to serve your 2 minutes. Yeah. I don't know why it's called the sin bin, but...
Well, I mean, there are some theological reasons, so... Yeah, nice. All right. The sin bin. Okay, those are the six. Nice. Nice job. All right. Was that fun? That was supposed to be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay, so now we get into more edifying, more encouraging portion. So... I came up with 10 questions. We're going to see how well we do. We might get through all 10 quickly, or if we can get some of them to begin talking, that'd be great, and we could have a conversation. So 10 questions. First one, playing any sport involves winning and losing. So we want to know from as many of you as you're willing to share, how does your relationship with God affect the way that you process the outcome of each game? Process winning, process losing. Anybody want to attempt to answer that question?
I think for me, the biggest part of it is kind of how you prepare for the outcome. So... kind of after each game, we usually play 2 games on the weekend. So after the first game, it doesn't really matter what the outcome is. So being able to move on and get ready for the next game, I think that's a big part of it. And I think just being in touch with God and like having that mentality that you can move on because he gives you grace to, whether you played well or you didn't play well. So I just think that's a big part for me.
That's great. Yeah. Anybody else want to chime in?
Yeah. I think from a coaching perspective, it's really hard to be a part of the team and feel like you're in the game, but you can't have any impact on it. I think a lot of people deal with that in life as well, right? We have to trust that the Lord is the one that's leading us, and we kind of have to live our lives, but also look at it from the outside. So for me, it helps to not tie a result to it, but just understand that it's in his will whether we win or lose, and that that's happening for a reason. You know, whether it's the first game of the year or the last game of the year, that he has a reason why we're either winning or losing that game to move forward.
That's great. Good Reformed theology there. Tate, did you grab the mic to say something?
Yeah, I forgot I was going to say it.
Nice. Okay. We can come back. Anybody else want to respond to this one? Okay. We'll move on. There's a famous quote that says, I went to a fight the other night and hockey game broke out. Have you heard of this one? Okay. So in the heat of the moment, we want to know, how does God help you to manage your emotions when you're out there on the ice?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing there is it's something I talked about at, with the pastor from my previous church at my old school. It was kind of like responding to things, not reacting to them. I think that's important, where you kind of have to just lean on your faith and not let your emotions get the better of you. It's easier said than done, for sure. But I think it's just kind of like they were talking about, too, just knowing that there's a bigger purpose beyond the little things that happen in a game that might make you mad, or even losing, letting in a bad goal or something like that. So I think it's just about the bigger picture, and I think God plays a big role in being able to kind of manage those emotions in real time.
That's awesome. That's great. Anybody else? That wasn't me. That was from that. Ethan, I appreciate it. I listened to an interview, he knows this, that he gave about a year ago. And one of the things that you said in the interview, that you like to come into a game feeling calm, you know, because you play your best. You've learned to play your best in that. And so I appreciate that posture.
Yeah, no, I think that's a huge part of what I try to do. And I think that there's beyond just myself, it kind of, I think, settles the other guys down too when stuff might be going sideways. And you kind of need to look to someone to be calm. And I don't think I'm the only one or anything, but I think it does help the other guys too if they see a calm presence and, yeah, and can kind of follow that.
Yeah, it's great. Awesome. She'll get her chance here soon if she doesn't take it beforehand. We have a picture that we're going to shoot up. Some of you have seen this photo. It's gotten, it's been around a little bit. So this is the picture of some of the guys that gathered at Center Ice after each game. So Talon, I think I'll ask you if you want to share with us a little bit, maybe even the history before this started happening at Clarkson, anything that you know of the history of Center Ice Prayer, and then how it started here, and then what it's become and how God is using this.
Yeah, so growing up, I was a part of FCA, which is Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and they had a hockey team. My junior year of high school, I went and I played for them. And this is something that we did after every game, is we would invite the other team to come pray with us. And we usually had both teams taking a knee at Center Ice, which was awesome. But then after that, we kind of all went our separate ways to play junior hockey in college, and we all kind of took it with us. So then I ended up bringing it here. And last year we started it. It was me and Trey Taylor who first started it, and it kind of grew a little bit last year, but this year we had a lot more guys come join us, so it was just kind of guys willing to kind of step in with us and say, hey, like, we'll come pray with you. So that's just kind of what we're doing there.
Yeah, it's totally awesome. I do have a photo of when I think you guys were playing Colgate or something. And yeah, there were members of the Colgate team that actually joined you guys afterwards. I think there were some relationships. Yeah, that might be the photo. Yeah, good. Thank you. Right there. So that's really cool. And I think it's been a testimony to other guys on the team to see them, whether they're winning or losing, they're going and they're bowing and praying and thanking God, right, for another chance to play. But I also think it's been a testimony to the people that are watching the games to see these guys humble themselves and giving glory to God. I think it's been a huge testimony to the fans. So thank you. Anybody else want to say anything about sunrise prayer? Okay. Saw that microphone. Okay. At the end of the game, hockey is just a game. And so, to the best of your ability to discern this, how do you feel like God is using hockey to form you into the person he wants you to be in Jesus? Does that question make sense?
So for me, hockey's like, it's always like a game of high and lows. So there's some good times and some bad times, but through it all, like, God is still the same. So realizing that no matter what happens, he's still like our rock and our foundation. So it doesn't matter what happens in that. So I feel like just learning to trust him through those lows are even more important than the highs, but also in the highs, being able to still give glory and honor to his name through that.
That's solid, solid. Yep. Anybody else want to speak to how God is using this game to transform your life in Jesus?
I would say for me, a lot of my mentors and stuff growing up in hockey, it can be a pretty brutal sport, and I think that's something that, as Christian men, we're called to be warriors for Christ and for our families and all that stuff. So I think having the ability to kind of flip the switch to become a warrior when you need to be and then kind of turn it down whenever you're off the ice, I think that's a big part of it for me.
All right. You may have just... there may be some people thinking that you might want to be speaking at a men's group here soon. So I'm just thinking, that was a good response. Yeah. Okay. Nice. Anybody else? Then we'll move on to question five. We're doing well. So you guys have all worked incredibly hard to get here. I'm learning some of the sacrifices that you've made, the dedication, the focus, to play a D1 collegiate sport. It's not easy. So again, we just say, well done. Congratulations for everything that you've already achieved. Having this level of achievement fairly early in life, it comes with nice rewards and some perks. But it also probably comes with some unique stress and temptation. And so that somehow needs to be managed. The stress, the temptation, external and internal. So would any of you be willing to, like, identify what some of the, now we're not talking about the perks and the benefits, but some of the stress, some of the unique temptations that you face as a college athlete, and ways that you're asking God to help you to manage that. Does that make sense? You just haven't spoken in a while, Tate, so everybody's looking at you. You've got something good.
Yeah, it's pretty stressful, especially on game days and leading up to the game. So I think just trying to pray the most I can in the games tries to help me reset my mind, even if it's when I'm on the bench after a bad shift or something, trying to reset, having the memory of a goldfish and just appreciating the Lord for giving me the opportunity to play the game I love with my brother and my brothers. And just like trying to be appreciative through that stress, I guess, and like looking, I don't know, yeah.
Nice. Good job. Anybody else want to talk about the ways that you're trying to manage the stress or to the unique temptations?
Yeah, I think maybe one of the bigger things is just it can be tempting to kind of cut corners when you have the kind of workload that we have, whether it be working out or practice or school.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just kind of keeping Christ at the center of your life and, and just trying to do things the way he would want you to do them kind of allows you to keep doing things, I think, the right way and in a way that he would appreciate.
Right. Awesome. That's great. So whatever we do to the glory of God. All right, let's move on to question six. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Therefore, I'm going to boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me." And that's 2 Corinthians 12. You are all physically strong. It's the way that we are first introduced to you. You walk into the room, it's like, oh, must be some athletes in the room. You have a very strong physical presence, and it's what we notice. It's what other people notice first, because you look powerful. You look like a warrior. But sometimes that's actually all people see, and they judge you based on your outward appearance, right? And they, because of that, they can begin to write some narratives in their own mind and begin making some assumptions, and they really miss out on getting to know the real you, the person that you really are. The question is, would any of you be willing to speak about this, like, yeah, there is another part of me that I would like more people to see, not just how awesome I am when I put skates on and, you know, but there's other parts of me that I would like more people to see and appreciate. Does that make sense, the question?
I think I can speak to it. Being in coaching now and not playing, like growing up, and I'm sure most of these young men and women, your identity is a hockey player, right? And for me, I was a goaltender like Ethan. So high school in town, you know, I'm from a small town. Everybody knew me as the goalie, right? And as a I guess a younger Christian in faith and really starting to find out what that means, I'm trying to reframe that identity to not be the hockey coach or not be, you know, the hockey guy or whatever that I've always been introduced as. And, you know, part of that is trying to be, or I guess live more like Christ, and I want people to see me as a man of God rather than a hockey coach, or rather than, you know, whatever people may have seen me as before. So I think reframing that and understanding what my true values are and how to live that way at all times, whether I'm at the rink or away from the rink, is super important. And I just try to be a good role model for my younger brothers, for these guys and girls, and for everybody around me in the community as well.
Anybody else want to speak to this? Okay. All of you have a faith in Jesus Christ that is growing, but not everyone on your team shares that faith. So the question is, how are you trying to live out your faith both on and off the ice in ways that you hope and pray will encourage others to take another look at Jesus? Tate?
Yeah, so last year, started getting like serious with my faith and all, and it was pretty weird because I was not ashamed, but I was nervous to talk about the Lord. And we had a prayer group and like we did a Bible study, but no one wanted to talk about it after. So coming here, I was a little nervous to see what everyone was like. And to be honest with you, I didn't even know Trey came to church. So it was cool to see the first day or first Sunday here. I got in a car with Siggy and Trey, and we came to this church, and it was pretty nice that like the Lord helped me like put people in my life that I could like be comfortable around my faith with, and so I just truly appreciate it for that.
That's awesome. That's great. What are some other ways that you guys are attempting to help show Christ in your life, both on and off the ice?
Yeah, I mean, obviously a big one is the prayer afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Doing that, I think it, even if nobody talks to us about it afterwards, it gets them thinking. And then just like off the ice, just like the way that for me that I love my teammates, like I try to serve them, do things for them that I wouldn't really want to do, but something they don't want to do either. So just little things like that to show them that there's kind of there's more to life than just yourself. So
it's awesome. It's great. Anybody else? Okay, we're getting down near the end. So for the guys, we've been studying through the Gospel of John, portions of it, and wondered if there's anything that's come up in our time together and in our discussions that you have found helpful that you would want to share with us. Talon, for some reason, I have your name down here.
I think a big thing for me is kind of in John, it's a lot of forgiveness. So being able to see that and try to implement that into my life, I think has been something that I've been trying to learn and grow through when we've been going through John.
Cool. Anybody else?
I think it's just cool how Jesus doesn't put himself above anyone else kind of through the Gospel of John. So I think that's something that's just important to take away from that, is he was willing to go to places that other people weren't, like the woman at the well and the healing the blind man. So I think it's just, especially I think we're kind of touching on an earlier question, we have this platform, but it's important to not let it get to your head and think because I'm a college hockey player that makes me better than everyone else. So I think that's a good example of how he sets the example to not think like that.
Yeah, yeah, it's awesome. It's great. So I do not know the answer to this question, so we get to ask Jess. So if you could tell us a little bit about the women's Bible study that's happening every Sunday and what you guys have been zeroing in on and how that God's been using that in your life.
Yeah, so for us, we do like just a different devotional every week, but a lot of the time we are talking about like the stresses and worries that we have, but we kind of relate that back to in the big picture, hockey is just a game, and like the stresses that we are going through are not that big compared to some of the other things in the world. But when we focus our eyes on God, those things go away because of his power and the purpose that he brings. So
yeah, that's great.
Basically where we're at.
Nice. It sounds awesome. So glad. Anybody else want to chime in before we hit the last one? Okay, so you guys have been on a regular basis coming here to this church, New Hope Community Church. Tate, you sort of hit on this one a little bit. Can you tell us, and this is kind of a word of encouragement, right, to this congregation, maybe maybe what brought you here, but what actually has kept you here? How has God been using this church, you know, in your own spiritual journey this year?
I can take this one. So my friend Tate over there, we were talking about faith, and he actually invited me to come here. And this group has kind of tried to come every Sunday, and just the people in this church, it's just so loving, so welcoming. I love the music. That's my favorite part. But yeah, it's just, I feel like my faith is growing stronger, and I want to keep on coming, and I'm just a freshman, so we got 4 more years of this, and I can't wait to see how my relationship with God continues to grow. So.
Anybody else want to respond?
Yeah, I think for me it's the people. Like my church back home, it's just like very strict, and here I feel like everyone's so welcoming, and we have that time to talk every time before the sermon. So getting to know everyone at the church, and people inviting me over for dinner and welcoming me into their homes is nothing I've ever seen before, and it's pretty cool.
That's great. Awesome. Chance? Anybody? Well, let's thank the members of the Clarkson Golden Knights. Welcome. And so I've asked two of them to share more of a personal testimony, the ways that God's been at work in their life. Did you lose the thing? So you're going first? Okay, yeah, that's awesome. So Ethan is their goalie, and we have a cool little video before Ethan speaks that we want to show. We're going to show it. I think we're going to show it two or three times, real speed, and because it happens so quickly, we're going to try to slow it down so that you can actually see how cool this play was. so this is, let's see if we can get this thing to work. So there it is. There's Ethan, number one. One, two, three. Three saves, all right?
That's in,
this is real speed.
That's in playoff overtime.
One, two, three. All right. Now we're going to slow it down in case you missed it, because it's easy to miss. Keeps his eye on that puck. All right, thanks to Clarkson for making that video available. Ethan, you want to share some thoughts with us?
Yeah, go ahead. Not about the video.
Right? No. Something even more important.
That
Jesus.
That was pretty long. I'm going to keep it pretty brief. I'm not the best public speaker in the world, but I am thankful to have the opportunity to speak today.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I didn't have a super extensive faith background growing up. I had some good influences in that way. My grandparents, I would go to church with them a lot, and I still see them every summer. Drive out. They live in California in the winter and then in British Columbia in the summer. So they were awesome, but I think my faith journey kind of started at my previous school. I went to school at a place called Lake Superior State for 4 years. I'm only here for this year, doing my master's. So at my previous school, it's actually a smaller school than Clarkson and a smaller town than Potsdam, so if you can believe that, yeah. And it's colder, too, and more snow, but it's all, yeah. I got really blessed with my roommate situation there. After my freshman year, I lived in dorms. Sophomore year, I got a house, and I only knew one of the three other guys that I was going to be living with. One of them was a transfer, and then one of them was a freshman, and then the other one was a kid on the team that I already knew. So the transfer ended up being a really big influence in my life, very strong Christian, and they kind of had something similar to what we did on Mondays going. They set that up where just meeting in a coffee shop every week, and I think it was just two or three of the guys at first. And he would just kind of kept asking if I wanted to go. I wouldn't have said before that I was an atheist or didn't believe, but I just kind of didn't really put the time into it to really learn. And he definitely introduced me to Christ and what he has to offer. So that's kind of where that took off. And I think the biggest thing that I noticed in my life is just the sense of peace that you get from him, you really can't get anywhere else. And I just noticed the biggest change for me was I would really overthink and overanalyze the little and the big decisions in my life, and it would just stress me out really bad. And I think that was the answer that I was missing, was just being able to pray and talk to God and have conversations with him about the stuff that was going on, and just kind of control what I could control and leave the rest up to him. And then I think the next biggest thing was that I really noticed his presence in my life was making the transition to Clarkson last spring. It was a pretty stressful time. I knew I wasn't going to be going back to that school, and being somewhere for 4 years, you obviously get pretty comfortable. You're comfortable with your roommates, comfortable with the town and everything. So it was going to be a pretty big change in my life, but I knew it was something that I had to do. And when I went in there, you basically throw your name in a big pool of people's names who want to switch schools, and there's people emailing you, calling you, texting you, so it was pretty stressful, but I knew kind of when I talked to Clarkson and talked to my family about it and prayed about it, it just seemed like God put it on my heart that this is where I was supposed to be, so I definitely just kind of took that and ran with it, and I think I ended up making my decision in like 3 days. A lot of people take a lot of time with that, but that was pretty quick, but it was definitely one of the best decisions I ever made, probably second behind giving my life to Christ. So that would be,
that's great.
I think, where I really noticed his presence. And then I think the last thing I would just like to say is thank you to you guys for opening this place up to us and being so welcoming. It's nice to just have that fellowship time with these guys and with you guys every Sunday. So, yeah, that's it. Thank you.
That's great.
All right. Yeah, so I guess for me, I grew up in a...
Oh, sorry. We don't have any cool video of you. but there would... I'm sure that there are awesome videos also of Talon. He's an amazing player. So, yes. Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, we all do. Yes.
Yeah, so I grew up in a Lutheran household until I was about, I think, fifth or sixth grade. Then we kind of, my family transferred to a non-denominational, or, yeah, I think it's non-denominational or something like that. But, yeah, so I grew up in a pretty, not strict, but I grew up around God. I knew all the Sunday stories, Sunday school stories, David and Goliath, all that stuff. So, but that time in my life, my faith wasn't really my own. It was my parents' faith. And then really the big step for me was when I went to that Christian school. I really got to put my faith into action. I moved away from home. I lived with a different family, a billet family, we call it. And yeah, I had a lot of, some of my best friends are from that school, and we all kind of helped each other grow in our faith and all that stuff. And then a big thing in hockey is called juniors. It's a kind of gap year between college and high school where you're just playing hockey and getting better. And that after that, I lived in Anchorage, Alaska for 9 months, so I moved way far away. And then those times are the times where you really kind of test your faith. Your parents aren't there to tell you what to do. There's not a lot of great influences in the hockey world. So being able to stay strong in your faith is a big deal. Yeah. And then, in juniors, it was kind of a mess for me. I moved around kind of a lot of places. It wasn't really the path I wanted to take. And then even, when I was trying to decide where to go to college, I had a school I was going to go to, then they dropped me and told me they didn't want me anymore. And then I got blessed to come here instead. And I think just at this point in my life, my testimony is really that looking back, God has a plan for everything. There's a reason why things didn't go right some days. There's a reason why I ended up here, and I'm just super thankful and blessed to be able to be here.
That's great. Well, let's pray. God, this has been all about you. We are so grateful for the work of your Spirit in our lives. God, thank you that we're all on this journey with you. And God, I thank you for each person that's on the stage here with me and the ways in which they're able to see you at work and the ways in which they continue to say yes to you, Jesus. God, we pray that you would continue to encourage them and protect them and bless them. Father, for Ethan, as he's in the middle of this big decision, we pray for wisdom and discernment for him. God, thank you for their teammates that are here supporting them. God, thank you for their presence also as part of the journey that everyone's on here. Father, we pray that we would take what we've heard. There's been some great nuggets of wisdom here that's been shared. And God, that we would apply it to our own lives. God, that we would also seek you first. And when we're in a stressful situation or emotionally charged situation, God, that we would turn to you and get everything that we need. Father, we pray that we would continue to be people who trust you with our lives. Win or lose, God, that we would trust you because you are writing a story that is beautiful and that we're going to look back someday and say, oh, now I understand even though it may feels a little confusing now. So God, help us to trust you as we've heard testified this morning. And Father, for anyone here, for anyone here who is thinking about what it means to trust you, Jesus, we pray that you would give them faith to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and to experience the same newness of life that has been testified of this morning. So God, we pray that whether it's in the worship or the fellowship time afterwards, that you would move those who have yet to commit their lives to you to do so by faith in Jesus Christ. God, we love you, we praise you, we worship you, we thank you, God, for your faithfulness, for your goodness. And God, we thank you for the men and for Jess being up here this morning. Continue to bless them, encourage them. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Great. We have a gift for each one of you. We'll give before the end of the service for being brave to being up here. So as you make your way down, exit stage. Yeah, I can take these. Thank you. You're welcome. We're going to continue to worship the Lord. And I'd like to invite James Weber III to introduce communion for us. So thanks, James.